and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag!
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Last year, Christopher Bell was the runner-up. Today, it's checkered flag for Christopher Bell as he collects career win number two and takes a victory here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in the Ambetter 301.
Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville. 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. It's all presented by Apple Collision Center and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. And yes, you heard it on the Performance Racing Network. Christopher Bell gets the win at New Hampshire. And you know what? If you watch that race and you watch the first two-thirds of it, you were surprised by that because Martin Truex Jr. was the man that led 172 laps. He had dominated to that point, but then they get into the third stage. Christopher Bell turns it on, wins 42 laps, and ends up defeating Chase Elliott, Bubba Wallace, and Martin Truex Jr. to get his first win of the year, meaning there are now 14 drivers that have won in the Cup Series this year. It's created a logjam, and only 16 drivers will get into the playoffs. So could it be for the first time under this playoff structure that we have a winner not get in the playoffs? Martin Truex Jr. right now is sixth in the points, or maybe even higher. I think he's fifth in the points, and yet he doesn't have a win, so he's on the cut line. And he talked to PRN about finishing fourth.
Well, Martin Truex Jr. out of the car. Boy, you were so dominant the first two stages of this race. What happened in the third stage? Can you tell?
Just put on two tires and got in a bad spot on the restart. Got put three wide. 22 didn't get going. I was on the inside behind him. Tried to shove him to get him going, to get us going, and Harvick made a three wide, put me in a bad spot. And just my car was terrible on two tires. I couldn't go anywhere, so just should have put four on, I guess.
I know this is a place you've really wanted to win, so I guess another is wait till next year, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had the car to do it. We just screwed it up, so it's frustrating. Disappointed, but congrats to the 20. Obviously, they were smarter than we were at the end.
You certainly hear the disappointment from Martin Truex Jr., who finished fourth, and it was all about the strategy at the end, and it didn't work out for the number 19 team. And it is going to be interesting. Can they get a win here in the next handful of races to be able to punch their ticket into the playoffs? Because with the points that he already has, I think that he would be, you know, obviously a win would get him in. So for Truex, really all it would take is that one win and he'd be good to go. Christopher Bell, though, he needed a win. He's had some solid runs as of late, and he caught up with PRN in Victory Lane.
All right, Christopher Bell getting a big hug from his wife here in Victory Lane. All the sponsors are down here. You got the Toyota folks, the Ream folks, and Christopher, here's the great thing. We no longer have to talk about you being on the bubble. You, my friend, have made it into Victory Lane. How did you win it at the end?
How did I win it? I won it with a great team behind me. All these mechanics, all the guys on the pit crew. This is only our second race working together, so they killed it today. And, man, I just, I don't know. It's all about the race team. You know, the driver is the guy who gets the name on the TV and then on the radio, but it's all about the mechanics, all about the crew chief, all about the pit crew. Without them, I'm nobody.
What does this do for you? Now you know you're in. You guys have been very solid on points after a rough start to the season. You and Adam Stevens have been nothing but consistent. Now you are in Victory Lane and playoff bound.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, I feel like we could have won a couple of them this year. Finally got one. Hopefully there's a couple more left.
I think Christopher Bell, with as talented as he is, I mean, he could definitely be one of those drivers that just getting into the playoffs could mean he could be very, very dangerous moving forward. I mean, gets the win now, but like I said, he's had some solid finishes, you know, as of late in the Cup Series. Just to kind of give you where he's finished, he won. Now, you know, he had two. Road America was 18th, Atlanta 19th, but an eighth before that. Worldwide Tech, that was in Nashville. At Gateway, he was ninth, fifth at Charlotte, fifth at Kansas, sixth at Darlington, fourth at Dover, a seventh at the Bristol Dirt, third at COTA. So he's put together a pretty solid season, and now he's added the win, and I think that really helps him out for his position when it comes to the playoffs and in the NASCAR Cup Series. So definitely a good one for Christopher Bell. Another guy that had a really, really good run was Bubba Wallace, and they made the pit crew change with Christopher Bell in the 20, but Bubba ends up getting third place in that 23.
Bubba Wallace comes home third. I feel like he doesn't sound discouraged at the end of that race. Tell us what you're feeling coming home in that top three.
Just proud. Proud of our team, proud of myself, staying in it there. This last month's been pretty much hell for me, so good day for our DraftKings Toyota Camry, TRD. I say that right? Definitely needed this, so just hats off to everybody back at the shop. Brought a decent car. I wasn't really happy with it, but it had speed. So I told myself this morning that it could be a long day, so just prepare yourself for that, and here we are.
A lot of tires went away at the end. How much were you slipping and sliding?
Oh, it was definitely a tire management game, so kept reminding myself to race the racetrack. Had one of the best behind me for a long time with Harvick, and he can mess with your mind a lot, and I said, get out of here. I didn't let him do that, and we pulled away.
Bubba is one that is going to need a win for sure, and you know, with some of the bad luck that Bubba has had, I don't even know if a win would be enough for him at this point. But, you know, I think that just for his confidence and the confidence of that team to get a top three finish like they did, didn't lead any laps on the day, but still a very, very good run for that 23. And it seems like 23-11 is really starting to come on. The 45 got a win earlier this year. And so Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan have to feel good about that. But the guy that I think is going to be really tough to beat in the playoffs is the only member of the Cup Series with three wins, and he's had some runner-up finishes. He's come very close to more wins. That's the guy that finished second, Chase Elliott.
Chase Elliott came home second today, overcame some problems on pit road. Fourth straight week you've had either a first or second place finish. I know it's ultimately not what you wanted, but still pretty good run today for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good, you know, good recovery. I did a really bad job there that last run, so just appreciate Alan and everybody, you know, bringing us another fast Napa Chevy. Another, you know, poor run of execution on my end, so hate to let those slip away.
Look, Chase Elliott, you know, he may have thought he let it slip away, but I think he is in a really good position. You're just seeing him get better and better and better with age. Just racking up wins. He's already got three. I would expect he's going to win a few more races this year, and he might very well win his second NASCAR Cup Series championship. Napa announced this week they've re-upped with Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott, of course, is going to be there a long time. He had signed a contract extension. Things are really clicking for the 9 team right now. One thing that I do think is interesting, they, you know, a couple of news and notes. NASCAR announced this week they would not go back to Road America. They are going to race the streets of Chicago next year. We obviously know a thing or two here in Nashville about street racing. We saw it on iRacing a few years ago, so you kind of felt like it was coming. We're going to talk to Austin Cindric coming up in a few minutes. Bobby Labonte going to join the show as well. I'll get their thoughts on the Chicago street course, but it's a market that they had left because Chicagoland Speedway wasn't doing well. They don't race there anymore, but I think being in actual downtown Chicago could be very lucrative for NASCAR and the NASCAR Cup Series. So at least give it a shot, see what happens, and then you can go from there. But I hate seeing Road America go because I did like Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, and Road America. I thought it was a cool track, cool road course. So hate seeing that go away, but it'll be interesting to see what Chicago can offer on the streets starting next year. And the full schedule is supposed to be coming out here pretty soon. They usually release it in August, somewhere in there. So I would expect we'll get the full schedule coming up very soon. Also, Kyle Busch, not signed for next year yet. Toyota, you know, wants to keep him. Joe Gibbs wants to keep him. But they've kind of started looking at contingency plans. You know, I think the market for Kyle would certainly be there. But it's all about finding sponsorship. And I think that has been the problem that they have run into, is they haven't been able to find the sponsorship for Kyle Busch like they thought they were going to, because M&M's is leaving. So figuring that part out is how they're going to be able to keep him. And, you know, if that 18 opens up, you have to assume that Ty Gibbs is the one that's going to move into it. you know, if you're Joe Gibbs Racing. So silly season is well underway in the NASCAR Cup Series and really all of the series, but we will see how that all shakes out. Coming up next, going to talk to Austin Cindric. He's the Daytona 500 winner. Been on the show before. We'll see how he's doing. Also got Bobby Labonte coming your way as you listen to Chasing Checkers presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Fairground Speedway on 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Back here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you as always. It's presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Nashville Fairground Speedway. You know, we had our special shows back in February at the Daytona International Speedway, and the man that won the Daytona 500, the biggest race of them all, the rookie, Austin Cindric, the driver of the number two Keystone Light Ford for Team Penske, and he is on the line with us. Austin, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You know, obviously you win the Daytona 500. That's a pretty good way to start your season, but what has your rookie year in the Cup Series been like overall for you?
Yeah, I could certainly argue it's probably the best way to start. it's been great, honestly. You know, there's been a lot of challenges, certainly as you can expect with being a rookie, and there's going to be good days and bad days. Days I've got to learn some stuff and figure it out, and there's days that I don't do it until the next time I show up at a racetrack. So it's certainly one of those things that you have to be adaptable and learn, but you stack on top of that the industry trying to learn the next-gen car and trying to figure out what it's going to take to make it work at all these different types of racetracks. So there's highs and lows for sure. But as a race team, we've certainly ran into some consistency. We've gotten consistent with our results and our execution and over really through the early summer till now. And that's been a positive for me and kind of an expectation, honestly, for me at this point in the year. So as we try and get ready for the playoffs.
You've grown up at Team Penske, so you know a lot of those people, and that has to help with the chemistry. But, you know, at the same time, you still have to do it. And you just mentioned that you're just starting to kind of get your stride with consistency. But how have some of the relationships helped you, you know, maybe take some pressure off yourself as you learn in your rookie year?
Yeah, I've been with the team, you know, sort of, I guess in the atmosphere for quite a while as far as my life's concerned. But even just in my professional career, racing for the team for the last 4 years in the Xfinity series. So obviously I know everybody knows me. I don't think there's any awkwardness or any real newness there, but as anyone knows in any job or any work environment, working with new people is certainly a challenge to get started. Just, you know, communication's different. Everyone's strengths and weaknesses are different, and people's interpretation of your strengths and weaknesses are different. You know, I'm working with two car this year, going off from basically working with the same group of guys for the last 4 years of my career. It's been different for me for sure. And it's been a good learning process. And I think in all of that, that communication is super critical, especially when you're making quick decisions, performance-based decisions during the races. So you have to know the people that you're working with, and you have to trust them, and they have to trust you. And it's like I said, it's been a good process for me to go through, and I think we're really in a decent spot now as a group.
Talking to Austin Cindric, the driver of the number two for Team Penske, he'll be racing at Pocono coming up this weekend. You won the Xfinity Series race at the Tricky Triangle last year. So how much, if at all, does that help you in a completely different car going into this weekend?
Well, yeah, I think Pocono is certainly one of those racetracks you have to have a great understanding of what the priorities are, because the three corners are different. You always have to make compromises, and it's a challenging racetrack. There's no way about it. And it's always been a fun place for me to go to, because you don't get to go to too many racetracks where you have straight line braking. I think Gateway is probably the only one that I can think of that really fits that mold at that speed. So interested to see obviously what the differences are with the next gen car and what compromises you're going to have to make, but it's all relatable as far as the racetrack. The racetrack's the one thing that never changes. So I'm excited for that. I've always felt really comfortable at that racetrack, and always seem to find find some speed. It's just putting it all together in the race. So strategy always goes a little crazy there because you don't go a lap down when pitting. So I'm excited to see what that's all like for us.
How much has there been a learning curve for you and really all the drivers of, you know, this new transmission in the next gen car? You know, I've seen a lot of you guys shifting more than you have in the past because you have that extra gear. So what has that transition been like?
Well, the funny thing is we've always had shifting at Pocono. So
yeah,
I guess you could look at Pocono as one of the racetracks that would probably be more normal. You know, there's probably only going to be one more shift that I can imagine us having at Pocono. So, but otherwise going to other racetracks like New Hampshire and shifting every lap, or, you know, Gateway shifting twice a lap, or, you know, some of these other racetracks, even some mile and a half, you know, with the question of downshifting. It's been different, but honestly, the transmission is quite a bit more foolproof as far as downshifting in the corner and not upsetting the car. And whether if that has to do with the diff or the transaxle, how that's all routed, because before you could really upset the race car with a bad downshift in the middle of the corner. And you also have an extra gear, so the threat of over revving the car is certainly less, you know, as far as going down a gear too early. So in some ways, it's actually maybe a bit easier and simpler or easier to predict, but it's certainly more frequent now with the car and trying to figure out when the right time to use it, you know, through the RPM band, I think is important to have a grasp on for each racetrack.
You've been pretty good on road courses. Next year, you're going to be on a street course in the city of Chicago. What did you think about the announcement yesterday that NASCAR would do its first ever street course race in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, street course racing certainly isn't new to motorsport. So we wouldn't be the first to do it, but it's the first time we're doing it for NASCAR. And I think between this car and where the sanctioning body really has grown, you know, I think you look at the class and what they're able to do there, and it's the same concept. You're bringing the party to the people. I've always loved street course racing because of that. Just from a fan standpoint, just from a competitor standpoint, you know, you're right in the heart of the city. And when you got these big, loud race cars making a lot of noise, and you start to wonder what's going on. You know, there's a lot of people that work in Chicago, that live in Chicago, and I'm sure they're all going to be pretty interested in what's happening there in July next year and want to come check it out. So I love that. And from a driver's standpoint, they're high commitment racetracks. Doesn't matter if it's low speed or high speed corners. It's just, you know, you're surrounded by concrete walls and you can't make mistakes. And I love that kind of pressure. And I've always really enjoyed racing on street courses in earlier in my career. So looking forward to seeing what the layout's going to be like and what we can do to make the best racetrack possible.
Austin Cindric is with us, and as we wrap this up, you know, it's been a unique year because we've had 14 different winners, including yourself, in the Daytona 500. Only 16 get into the playoffs. So how much point watching do you start doing now this time of year as the regular season starts to wind down? And do you think that, you know, maybe it could take another win just to secure a spot in these playoffs?
Another win would make me not look at points ever again until the playoffs start, 100%. But the way I see it is if we stay, you know, above the top 16 or 15 in points, the rest of it doesn't matter. You know, we put ourselves in a decent spot over the last couple of weeks, but that gets erased pretty easily, you know, with a DNF. So I think it is important to keep an eye on that because, yeah, absolutely, the odds are still high for – you know, there's still some pretty big name drivers that haven't won yet this year, and as easy as it is to say that one of those guys can win, it's not very easy to win the Cup Series. So, and we've got a lot of guys who've already won races that are contenders. So, certainly interested as everybody else to see how that all plays out, and I hope that that's all promoted in the right way with the points being the critical thing to get those 1-1 guys in. So, I'm excited to see where we all stack up in that. But I do think we're a playoff capable team. We're 13th now in regular standings. So we've been on a steady climb here recently and want to keep that going.
No doubt about it. Austin Cindric is with us. Thanks for the time today, Austin. Always good to talk to you, and best of luck at Pocono.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
That's Austin Cindric, the driver of the number 2 Keystone Light Ford for Team Penske, of course, at Pocono this weekend. Won the Daytona 500. earlier this year, and do always enjoy talking to him because, look, I mean, you heard him say it. Things are getting really tight right now. 14 different winners on the Cup Series circuit this year. Only 16 drivers will make the playoffs. Even though he has that win, does not guarantee him a spot at all in the playoffs because of so many different winners, and there's about six races left before the playoffs. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the Hall of Famer Bobby Labonte, also with NASCAR on Fox. He's going to join us on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers, the Nashville Fairground Speedway, on 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. We're back on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in Nashville, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe with you as always, and it is presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And speaking of the fairgrounds, a guy that found victory lane just a couple weeks ago in the SRX Series is on the line with us. He's also with NASCAR on Fox. We say hello to the 2000 Series champion and Hall of Famer, Bobby Labonte. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I hope you are. And just doing good. Woke up this morning feeling good.
That's good. That's good to hear. So,
yeah,
that beats the alternative. That is for sure. Yeah. What was it like coming back to the fairgrounds? I know you have some history there in your career, but coming back with SRX and having a heck of a race car and getting the win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to go back a little bit, I've been able to go there many times. And a little quick story is, I think the first time I went there, I was a mechanic on Billy Hagan's car. Terry was driving, and just a crew member. And that was in mid '80s, I guess it was. And that was my first visit to the Fairground Speedway. And then later on in the Xfinity Series, I ran a race there. I won it, and David Green drove a race for me. We owned a car, and he finished first. Terry owned a car, and I think Daryl drove it. Finished in the top five. So anyway, we've kind of got a fun, fun relationship with the fairgrounds. And then to go back, last year, I think I finished fourth in the SRX Series. And then this year coming back and, it was one of those things. And I told my wife after practice, she goes, well, how are you? And I was like, I am not very good. I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. And I kind of changed my thought process on the track, how the tires were going to wear. And it seemed like it might've paid off for me. So anyway, good to get a win, and got another guitar, so maybe we'll start a band here soon.
I love it. How does the crew chief thing work in the SRX Series? Because I think Tony Urie Jr. was working with you on that race. I heard him talking a little bit about it on the Dale Jr. Download. But how is that dynamic as opposed to what you're used to?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the SRX Series is different. And last year was different than this year. Last year they had some celebrity crew chiefs that would come in and kind of take care of a three or four cars, one person. And so that was last year. This year, a little different. Obviously, Tony Urie Jr., known him for years, and, raced with he and his dad and, with at DEI and also through Dale Jr. and that whole clan, right? So it was really cool to have him. And, he's part owner of the Fury chassis. And so, all that being said, he was my crew chief for the night, and that gets picked. I don't know if it's like pill draw or rock, paper, scissors or whatever. But so I know that when I show up, it's like, here's your crew chief, right? So, I think that, obviously, for me, just having a relationship, helps a little bit. But there's a book, and I say a book, should be a book that really says, and what it is what your changes could be. So, in practice, I was like, ooh, I'm no good. Well, you can't change anything. And then after the heat races, you can change a pound of air pressure or two, whatever, little changes that everybody has the options to change. So that's the crew chief role. And obviously, in my case, Tony would say, hey, obviously guys are driving in further, wearing their tires out. You're not, then that kind of gives you an idea of like, okay, what they're doing and what I'm doing in comparison. So anyway, so that's kind of the crew chief role this year. And I think those guys do a great job. A little bit less people than we had last year for the SRX Series. So a lot of work, but 6 weeks, I think everybody can hold their breath, right? Okay, go do 6 weeks worth of work, right?
No doubt about it. Bobby Labonte is with us talking some NASCAR, some SRX as well. And, you were obviously teammates for a long time with Tony Stewart. Tony,
a big part of co-founder of SRX. It seems like he's still winning all the time. I mean, he seems to know his way around these racetracks. But do you still see that same competitive Tony Stewart that you saw way back when he was a rookie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the fire's still there. You know, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, we're all probably, you know, pretty much the same as what we once were, whatever, you know, that is. And Tony was, you know, fired up back then, competitive, fast, and the whole thing. So for him to, you know, be like that, I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me and wouldn't expect anything different, right? So, yeah, you know, he's obviously part of the series ownership group and races in it as well, and you know, gets fired up, you know, and you know, but you know, again, you know, Tony is Tony, and that's a great thing, you know, because he brings a lot to not just this series, but to, you know, in racing in general, you know, and life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because I've had plenty of conversations and, you know, known him for many years, and like a lot of other people, and you know, wouldn't trade him for anything, because you know, that's what makes him who he is, and which is a great person. And you know, we've sat down in different meetings and, you know, conversations, and you know, his passion for the sport, and you know, his, you know, you got to admire somebody that's not happy with second, right? So I mean, that's a good thing. And you know, I think that's what he brings to the, you know, whatever it's if it's racing or business.
So I'll have you put your analyst hat on now. As a member of NASCAR on Fox, NASCAR announced yesterday that unfortunately they'd be moving on from Road America, which I hate to see that because I really like that track, but they're going to run the streets of Chicago with the first ever street race in NASCAR Cup Series racing. With this new car, I think that helps that along to be able to prepare for a street course like that, but pretty unprecedented for the sport to do that. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that, you know, rumored a couple years ago, you know, a little bit more last year, and then obviously making this decision, you know, official yesterday. And, you know, a couple things come to mind is obviously next year is the 75th year NASCAR been around. You know, the street course. I'm a big fan of street courses, and, you know, we're going to the Nashville IndyCar race. We went there last year.
Oh, cool.
Been to Toronto. Been to St. Pete, you know, for the IndyCar, and, you know, heck, even years ago, I went to Monaco just because I quit racing, you know, I was able to go, right, didn't race on the Coca-Cola 600. So, you know, I mean, and those are all great venues, and, I mean, there's different, you know, aspects to it. And, you know, so I think there is a lot that can be brought to the table with that. I mean, just obviously, you know, in the vicinity of, you know, 2 square miles, how many people are there that could just walk over, right? And watch racing. They don't have to drive, you know, 20 miles, 40 miles, whatever. You know, and I think it's, you know, something that's not, doesn't need to happen every weekend, but I think, you know, that one-off or, you know, 2 or 3 years and just see where it goes. Inaugural event will be huge. And you know, iRacing had that same format a couple years ago that they did during the pandemic. And so I looked at it yesterday and it's basically the same. It might change a little bit, but I think that this car also brings that availability. I mean, 3 years ago with the cars that we had, you know, not quite as much. This car lends to be like a road race car. And so they're going to have IMSA on Saturday, NASCAR on Sunday. And I can tell you a story. I remember standing on the end of pit road many years ago, and I just stand there watching the prototypes going into turn one, just amazed how far they can drive in there, right? Yeah. And I'm standing there, and Jim France is there, and he's like, he's looking at those cars, and he tells me, he says, that's what our cars need to look like. And this was like, I mean, 12 years ago, right? And so obviously with the next gen car, kind of what they are, you know, I mean, they're more like that, you know, the way they operate, and the rack and pinion and the sequential shift and all that stuff and underbody, right? So, you know, the big key to me about a street course is it's got to be wide enough for our cars, because it's not IndyCar, it's not Formula One. They're smaller. Formula One's not, but anyway, so, you know, I think that's, you know, got to play into it, but, yeah, I think the whole venue, and it's going to be good for NASCAR. A lot of people's eyeballs will be on that race, and a lot of people that's never been to a race will have the opportunity to go to it. So it should be a win-win, you know, and I'm, you know, not including, you know, whatever the racing is, but just being around, and in that venue, for that race will be cool. I mean, it's just going to be monumental. I mean, I do believe as Ben Kennedy said yesterday, it's pretty bold. You know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, we thought that Coliseum deal was big. This is pretty huge. I'd like to see what's next, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think this next-gen car allows them to be innovative when it comes to the schedule and the tracks and all of that. But, you know, speaking of, we've had 14 winners this year already. Only 16 drivers get into the playoffs. I think for the first time in the history of the playoffs, you're going to have 16 or more winners on the year, which to me is somebody watching at home, I think is great, you know, that you have some parity. But how do you feel about it as someone that's a driver and also an analyst now with Fox, of having so many different winners in the Cup Series this year?
Yeah, and I was talking to Chad Knaus last night, and I told him, I said, you know, when you and Jimmy were winning a lot of races, you know, I mean, I think that's good as well, because I like to see that, because it's like, all right, who can beat Jimmy this week? Who can beat Chad this week? Who can, you know, how can we beat those guys, right? So there is some to me that, you know, as a racer, I'm like, you know, that's okay. And then both of us kind of said, but this year it's kind of like, you know, sure, we still got, you know, the winners that, you know, the normal winners, but at the same time, it's like he said, he made the comment, he said, but Kyle Larson's only won one race. And it's like, you know, you'd think that he would have won four or five by now, right? You know, Denny Hamlin has won, I think, two. And it's like, how do you win those two? You know, they were kind of like, well, not really the best way to do it. Martin Truex Jr. hadn't won, you know, but you think about, you know, Austin Cindric won. You think about Suarez won. You think about Ross Chastain won. Chase Briscoe won. You know, those guys that you wouldn't have expected to maybe, you know, have a chance, but, you know, they kind of like really won. You know, they ran good. So this car this year has brought out, I think, the parity, obviously, but yet you still got your teams that are going to be good. You see Hendricks is, you know, still right there at the top. Gibbs has got its, you know, places they run really good at, you know, still. And, you know, so, but yet at the same time, it does give opportunities for other teams to get a little closer, you know, so it's closed the gap up that way. So I think it's good. I made a prediction last night. I think there'll be 16 winners before the regular season's over. So I hope I'm right on that, because I'll probably get, you know, one scoop of ice cream on a cone. So that'd be my victory. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's cool to see. But again, I didn't mind, you know, the guy winning 10 races either, and, you know, having a dominant year, because it's like, how can you beat him? You know, so it goes both ways for me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bobby Labonte is with us, and, you know, we started this talking about Nashville, and we'll end it talking about Nashville. Two successful races at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Ally 400. The NASCAR Cup Series is back in the Music City. The Fairgrounds, obviously, is still a thing that, you know, SM wants to get involved with and fix it up and potentially have Cup Series racing there, the banquets here. Why is this city so important to the sport? And you even mentioned, you know, the street race, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix that's coming up in a few weeks. Why has this become such a motorsports mecca?
You know, I mean, you know, it just a lot of racing history there, and a lot of people that, you know, went NASCAR racing, and I think of Barrel Waltrip and Sterling Marlin, just two off the top of my head. You know, Marty Robbins, you know, I mean, it's like Nashville's got a lot going for it as far as history of racing. And when you think about it, I mean, whether it was the Speedway in Lebanon, you know, or more importantly, I think the Fairgrounds, just how long it's been there. And I never raced the All-American 400. I put my name in a hat. I wish I could run that one time. But, you know, as far as, you know, racing in that area, and I made the comment the other day, I said, you know, they moved the banquet from New York. And we always love going to New York. And then they go to Las Vegas. And, you know, it's like, okay. Then it's kind of like, okay, now what are we going to do? So, they could have picked Charlotte. That would have been close for everybody, right? And it's got a great – the Hall of Fame's there, the banquet hall. You know, I mean, that could have been easily done. But you know, go to Nashville. There's so much going on there. You know, not just obviously in NASCAR, but, you know, there's so much going on, so much to do. Got to be a fun place, you know. And so – when they did the burnouts last year on the streets, you know, and I think of all the bars, and I think of, you know, Justin Marks, obviously, with Trackhouse being there, I think, you know, just as far as, like, you know, he lives there. I think he lives there.
Yep.
You know, Ty Norris, and, you know, and that's, you know, not saying they did it because of them, but, you know, that's their home base, right? It's not Charlotte. And, but I think, again, you know, just the people, the Saturday night racing at the Fairgrounds is just kind of iconic, you know, and, I mean, you might not be able to find that. I mean, nothing against other short tracks, but you know, North Wilkesboro is not going to hold the banquet, right? You know,
right.
They don't have the infrastructure around the city, or the city doesn't have the infrastructure to hold something like that, where Nashville is what it is. I mean, Music City, but also a lot of racing. And you know, so, hey, I mean, I think there's a lot of synergy there with between the two. And, you know, we all love, you know, all of music, all of racing, and you kind of put those two together. And, you know, and I think, too, you think about the eyeballs on it. You go to New York for the banquet, which is great. You go to Las Vegas, great. But when you think about going to Nashville, it's like, there's your racing crowd. They live there. You know, they're the ones that really be more, they're going to be more in tune and say, hey, NASCAR is in town. You go to Vegas and NASCAR is in town, and I'd say probably 90% are going to go, well, who is that? You know, we're here for a good time. We're not here for NASCAR, right? So anyway, that's just kind of my two cents on it. But I think it's a great venue and a lot of fun.
Well, no doubt. And glad you were able to win there at the fairgrounds a couple weeks ago. And appreciate you taking the time to join me today. A lot of fun catching up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, anytime. And I appreciate you doing that, and look forward to it.
That's the Hall of Famer Bobby Labonte, also with NASCAR on Fox, joining us here on Chasing Checkers. Coming up next, we'll talk to Scott Dixon. Actually, he talked to Willie Donick and Derek Mason earlier this week. Is the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be here in just a couple weeks. Dixie joins the show next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92 on the Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game in Nashville, 92 on the Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. You can get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers. It's all presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Coming up August 5th through the 7th, just a couple of weeks away, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. You will not want to miss that. And one of the drivers that is going to be involved is Scott Dixon. Of course, he won out at the Nashville Super Speedway way back in the day. He caught up with Willie Donick and Derek Mason earlier this week.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
No, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to the upcoming event, man. It was a blast last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and hopefully it'll be even better. I want to ask you about that in a moment. But, I mean, you, Scott, for those that do not know, is a six-time IndyCar Series champion. And Scott, going way, way back, we used to come out to the Nashville Super Speedway every year when the track was new and you guys were coming through there. So, I mean, you have done this circuit for a long time. So this is a pretty unique event, isn't it? But when you get to go around downtown like it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Nashville Super Speedway was, you know, definitely have fond memories there. I think we won three or four times, got a few of those guitars. So Nashville's always been, you know, have had a sweet spot for that. And last year, the first time in downtown Nashville, I had actually forgotten how crazy and wild Nashville is as a city, man. It's a fun place. And, you know, I kind of saw that firsthand on the first night. I think it was Thursday night. We were doing a pit stop competition right there on Broadway. And, you know, just to see the crowd and everybody come out, it's definitely been a huge success. And I think it was over 100,000 people on race day last year. So, you know, big thanks to everybody at Big Machine and, you know, Scott Borchetta and Mark and everybody involved, because it's definitely these events that are huge for IndyCar. And as you said, I'm a veteran. You know, I've been in the sport for over 20 years you know, it's just really special to see some of these events and new and upcoming events and how they knock them, you know, right out of the park first go.
So what keeps driving you to win more? You just mentioned it. You're very decorated. You've done this for a long time. How do you stay? It's always fun to ask champions what keeps them hungry, even if you've done almost everything there is to do.
Probably getting beaten. You know, I think that's what, you know, keeps me hungry, man. You know, luckily with a lot of hard work, you know, we grabbed our 52nd win this weekend in Toronto and tied Mario Andretti for second on the all-time wins list, which was huge and a massive milestone for myself. So, you know, there are those glimpses, but, you know, we're in a sport where you lose a lot more than you win. And I think that's what really drives you on. But, you know, just the competition and the team atmosphere, you know, I've been at it's my 21st season with Chip Ganassi Racing, and, you know, having Chip, you know, steer this ship, and just his, you know, obsessiveness, I guess, with you know, filters down through everybody. And, you know, for me, you know, I feel very lucky to have this opportunity and just want to make the most of it. But there's nothing more triggering, I guess, and getting beat hard sometimes, and you know, I think that they're coming back and winning is what it's all about.
Now, like you said, Scott, you've been in the game for a long time, and it takes a special person, and it takes a lot of dedication in whatever you do to be in that specific sport or profession for a very long time. So kudos to you. You've been in it a long time. Maybe you stayed at the top for a very long time. If I'm not mistaken, now you're second all time. You tied Mario Andretti for IndyCar wins. So congratulations on that. But my question is, how do you, after so long, because race car isn't a traditional, like, physical sport, meaning you're running and doing all, you're getting hit and all this other stuff, like my sport was in football. So the conditioning is a lot different in football than I would take in IndyCar racing. So what is it that you do condition wise that you last so long in such a grueling sport?
Yeah, you know, it's a very good point, you know, and football is one of the most brutal sports I've ever seen, you know. It's tough, extremely tough on the body. Luckily, you know, I think with motor racing in general, you know, if you look at the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, drivers were losing, you know, best friends every other weekend, mm-hmm. you know, just with the safety side of things. So I guess that's definitely a big part of it. You know, injuries are kind of less, you know, there is a big part on the drive, right? You know, mm-hmm. getting up and, you know, I still train 6 days a week, three of those days, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, you know, the others are just two in the morning. The cars are very physical. You know, the IndyCar is kind of one of the last left purists with no power steering and, you know, very high loads. You know, you're getting up to 4 or 5 G in some of these corners. And your average heart rate for a 2 hour race can be, you know, 150 to 170 beats per minute. So, you know, a lot of the drivers, I think, and even through my era, you know, kind of took a really big precedent on making sure that, you know, the physical side is not something that's going to alter your thinking and being exhausted and things like that. So, I know it's really helped me. In some ways, I think, you know, I've had injuries and mm-hmm. broken plenty of bones, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I think it's more of a mental game, I think, when it really comes to it, you know, and how long you can, obviously, if you have an injury that takes you out of it, that's something different. But, you know, to go this long, I think, for a lot of people, but I have seen motorsport in general and this sport, you know, the longevity is getting a lot longer, which is great to see.
We're talking to Scott Dixon, six-time champion. Right now he's in fifth place in the IndyCar Series, and there are seven races to go. They're in Iowa coming up this weekend, and, of course, they'll be in Nashville August 5th for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. One of the things, Scott, that I always enjoyed when you guys would come through at the Nashville Speedway is the camaraderie you guys had as drivers. You compete against one another so hard on the weekends, but it seems like there's just kind of a good fraternity back and forth. You kind of rib each other. We've often talked to one of the younger guys in Joseph Newgarden, who's burst on the scene here. You've been around a little bit longer than him, but he's got that kind of personality too. That's one thing that I didn't know anything about the sport until you guys started coming through Nashville, but that seems like it's a fun part, personalities and a competition that's respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think IndyCar is quite unique like that, you know, but we are a bit of a traveling circus, right? We spend a lot of time together and, you know, the motorhome lot, I think, has probably got a lot bigger even from, you know, when I first started and where you do hang out, you know, after the races or even, you know, the nights before Thursday kind of through Sunday. COVID kind of changed it a little bit and people kind of try to get in and out as quick as possible. But you're totally right. I think it's some of it sometimes too is just, you know, the danger factor too, right? Like, you know, you know that it's dangerous, you know, you are quite close to all of, you know, all of the people that are involved in the sport just because, you know, how lucky one you are to be in it. But, you know, secondly, you know, and on the unfortunate side is that, you know, you occasionally do lose close friends. So I think that is a part of that, you know, which is, you know, not something that everybody talks about, but yeah, you know, I do love that part of IndyCar racing, that, you know, the competition is through the roof. You know, I've never seen it so tough in all of my career, but everybody also understands that, you know, you got to enjoy life, you got to have fun, and you know, don't get me wrong, there's some people that just plainly don't get on throughout the season, and you know, that's totally fine, and that's the competition side. But in general, man, it's a pretty tight family that we have here.
Well, Scott, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. Good luck when you get to Nashville in August, and in the meantime, continued success on the circuit here. Good luck in Iowa this Saturday.
I can't wait, man. And thanks for having me on, and looking forward to getting back to Nashville.
Get your tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix now. Just go to musiccitygp.com for more information. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Austin Cendric, Bobby Labonte, and Scott Dixon for joining us this week. We'll do it again next week. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.